It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Deborah Amos.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is no magic formula that will solve the problems of Iraq.
That's James Baker, co-chair of the Iraq Study Group, which this hour released its long-awaited recommendations for U.S. policy in Iraq. The bipartisan panel is calling for more U.S. troops to train Iraqi troops. It also recommends a new and enhanced diplomatic effort to stabilize Iraq. NPR's national security correspondent Jackie Northam is covering the story, and she joins us now. Jackie, we have had 2 days of the most sober assessment of Iraq. Can you talk about this new atmosphere?
I was quite struck, actually, Deborah, at just how sober this assessment was. And really, the president described it as a tough assessment. I think that was even understating it. The Iraq Study Group says that the situation in Iraq is grave and deteriorating, that the violence is increasing in scope and lethality. More importantly, they talk about that this situation could provoke a slide towards chaos in the whole region there, and that it could trigger the collapse of Iraq's government and a humanitarian catastrophe. They brought that up at the press conference. And for U.S. policy, it says it could further diminish the American standing in the world. It is, again, a very, very sober assessment.
Let's start with U.S. troops. The panel is calling for a gradual drawdown of combat forces in Iraq, but more U.S. troops to train Iraqi forces. So tell us about that balance. What's the details?
Well, this is a fundamental shift of how business is done for the U.S. troops right now in Iraq. Essentially, they're going to shift from a combat role into a training role. And the Iraq Study Group suggests that they increase the number of advisors, trainers in Iraq, fivefold, anywhere up to 20,000 advisors. It's also going to be by 2008, they're saying they want a quarter of the combat troops out of there. That's about the only timeline that we've got. It's a gradual withdrawal, but so much of it's contingent on building up the Iraqi troops, the Iraqi security situation.
Most of this report is about diplomacy and renewed diplomatic efforts, particularly toward Iraq's neighbors, Iran and Syria. Talk about that, please.
Well, it was very interesting. Both co-chairs talked about the situation with Iran, and that they didn't have any, they knew what they were dealing with when you're dealing with Iran and Syria, and they didn't want to exaggerate what could come out of this, particularly with Iran. They said that they wanted to actually put it out there, though, that they tried to talk with Iran, and that if Iran rejected it, the world would see that. Syria, they thought they had a better chance of making some headway with because they thought Syria had things to offer. But they made it very clear that this wasn't just, please help us, the U.S. saying to both these countries. It would be a back and forth, both sides giving up a little bit, both sides taking.
Now, this report comes with a warning of sorts for the Iraqi government. So let's listen to this clip of tape from Lee Hamilton, the co-chair of the panel.
If the Iraqi government does not make substantial progress toward the achievement of milestones, the United States then should reduce its political, military, or economic support for the Iraqi government.
That's Lee Hamilton of the Iraq Study Group. Does the report specify what the Iraqi government has to do?
It sure does. It's threefold. The Iraq government has to show good faith, has to show progress in efforts towards national reconciliation. It has to show progress towards its military, building up its military forces, reducing the number of militias within its security forces there. And the third thing is also just showing a better way of life for the Iraqi people. The panel was very, very clear on this, too, that we have to make, the U.S. has to make it clear to the Iraqi government that the U.S. does not have an open commitment. This is not an open-ended commitment by any means. There has to be some progress. Otherwise, they start pulling back.
You know, at one point this morning, James Baker joked that this panel was a bunch of has-beens, and there was certainly a lot of gray hair up on that panel. So how much influence will this report have from this panel of old-timers?
Well, this has been the speculation over the past few days. It's just how much President Bush will listen to this group and what they have to offer. There are three other similar reviews going on out there by the Pentagon, the National Security Council, and the State Department. So these are all White House commissioned reviews. And, you know, the cynical thought out there is that, well, he's just going to take what he wants to hear from his group and say thank you very much to the Iraq Study Group. At the same time, the panel today, both Baker and Hamilton, made it very clear that they've been around this world a few times. They understand the necessity and the importance of diplomacy and that type of thing. And so that that they should actually have an ear of the president. And they also said today that they were quite satisfied with how the president accepted the study that they did, the review that they did.
Thanks very much, NPR's national security correspondent Jackie Northam. You can hear the two chairmen of the panel, Lee Hamilton and James Baker, talk about the recommendations of the Iraq Study Group later today on All Things Considered. The report issued today by the Iraq Study Group is an official document. That means it's in the public domain. You can read it for free on the Internet, including at NPR.org. You will also be able to buy a copy in the bookstore. Another government report, the 9/11 Commission Report, set the trend, a surprise bestseller that even got a nomination for a National Book Award. NPR's Neda Ulibi found that a government study can be a hot publishing property.
Vintage Books, a division of Random House, is a Tony New York publisher that bid against other companies for the Iraq Study Group report's first publication rights. Senior editor Andrew Miller says Vintage won in part because it could turn the book around in just a few days.
This is a process that normally takes 8 or 9 months, and I guess we did it in about 2.5 weeks. I don't think we've ever done anything even close to this quick.
Miller learned of the winning bid right after last month's midterm elections. While he anxiously waited for the top-secret report to arrive on a computer file, Miller threw himself into a whirlwind of new work challenges, like finding a copy editor with a security clearance and choosing a cover for a book he had not read.
They gave us a general outline that didn't have any substance in it, but enabled us to do a rough typeset design. So we had a bunch of things in place, and then when the file actually came in last Friday, we were able to flow it into the design. We had to make some changes, went back to the typesetter on Friday afternoon around 6, and then was proofread overnight. Some corrections were made Saturday morning. We sent it to the printer about 1:30 Saturday afternoon. It started going actually onto press at about 10 on Saturday night.
The book shipped first thing on Monday morning at a slim 167 pages each. Miller won't disclose advance orders for the book, but he says there's already a second printing.
Thank you very much.
There has not been much of a buzz about the Iraq Study Group report at the venerable Washington, D.C. bookstore Politics and Prose. Still, co-owner Carla Cohen says she expects sales to be brisk.
We've ordered 100. That's a really big order for us.
Still, Cohen says she does not expect the Iraq Study Group report to match the stratospheric sales of the 9/11 commissions. That book sold 1.5 million copies, about half in the first 4 weeks.
I think this will do well, but it would surprise me if it got to that level.
Charlotte Abbott is a senior editor at Publishers Weekly.
What's different, I think, is that the 9/11 report was an engrossing narrative of a dramatic event. It had a beginning, it had a middle. We know how the story ended. They really got top-notch writers. It's like a thriller.
Once in a while, the often stodgy genre of government reports grabs the headlines and space on bookstore shelves. Take, for example, Kenneth Starr's report on President Clinton or the Mies Commission's 1986 investigation of pornography. Vintage senior editor Andrew Miller traces general readership of government reports back to a naval commander who served in the Mexican-American War.
There's a report by William Lewis Herndon in the 1850s about a trip down the Amazon he took that the government released, and that was actually a government printing office, but that sold, I think, 30,000 copies then, which was a huge bestseller for the time.
Miller acknowledges that the Iraq Study Group report may not be a huge bestseller for an American readership saddened by and soured on the war. But he says it contains new information that may make it an essential stocking stuffer for the policy wonk in the family. Neda Ulibi, NPR News.
We don't know how this one ends yet. The full title is The Iraq Study Group Report, The Way Forward, A New Approach. This is Morning Edition.